Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our evening service recording for Lord's Day, the 7th of June. We sing praise to God. Our opening psalm is 139. Psalm 139, we'll be singing from the beginning of the psalm and then also just the very last verse. So it'll be the first five stanzas and then also the last one, number 14. The tune is the tune Holly, number 15. Psalm begins, Lord, you have searched me and me known, when I rise up, when I sit down. You understand too from afar the very thoughts that in me are. You mark my path and lying down. My ways to you are all well known, for on my tongue can be no word, but you completely know it, Lord. And the complete knowledge of the Lord in regard to all of our life's circumstances is something of great comfort to God's people. It is a great thing that he always knows the way things are with us. No matter where we go, he will know what our situation is. The last stanza of the psalm, the writer says, search me, O God, my heart discern. Test me, my anxious thoughts to learn. See if in hurtful ways I stray. Lead me in the eternal way. And the Lord is able to lead us into those ways that are honoring to God. Well, we sing in praise to the Lord. Tune Holly, number 15. We sing stanzas 1 to 5. And then also stanza 14, and then afterwards I'll lead in prayer.
Lord, you have searched me and me known. When I rise up, when I sit down, you understand too from afar. In me are. You mark my path and lying down. My ways to you are all well known, for on my tongue can be no word, but you completely know it. Stand before me and behind, and on me you have laid your hand. Such wondrous knowledge is too strange for me to hide beyond my range. Where can I from your spirit be? Where from your presence can I flee? You are in heaven if there I fly, and in the grave if there I lie. If I the wings of morning take, the seats beside my dwelling make, if there your hand my guide will be, your right hand will take hold of me. Search me, O God, my heart discern. Test me, my anxious thoughts to learn. See if in hurtful ways I stray. Lead me in thee.
Now we speak to God in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that this is the kind of God that you are. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one who knows the very thoughts that are within us. We thank you that the things that you know are well known and are known completely, that there's no sketchy knowledge with you. We thank you, Lord, for the completeness of your understanding. And Lord, we rejoice that we can look to you as a God who is all-knowing. We thank you that you're the one who is always present with your people. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God full of mercy, and we praise you for how you are the one who saves sinners. And we pray, O God, that we will always marvel at that grace of God in the salvation of sinners. We pray that you will help us now in our time of evening worship. Pray that you'll bless to us your word. We give thanks, Lord, for the blessings of the Lord's day. And we pray that you'll continue, O Lord, to bless us as we remember our Savior, the things that he did, the things that he taught, and the things that remain true about him. We pray, Lord, that it will be good for us to think about these things. Work in us now, Lord. Forgive all our sins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us read from God's Word in the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, I want to read from chapter 18 in Luke's Gospel. Chapter 18 at verse 18, and reading right through into the next chapter at verse 10. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" But he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Then Peter said, "See, we have left all and followed you." So he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life." Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We end our reading there at Luke 19 and verse 10. I want to speak this evening on the conversion of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector of Jericho. The previous chapter, Luke 18, Jesus teaches that parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And Paul Wallace spoke on that recently here in Karatz. That's a tax collector who's a fictional character appearing in a parable. But here in chapter 19, we have a real-life tax collector. In Luke 18, Jesus encounters the rich young ruler, a man who wasn't prepared to follow Jesus because his riches meant more to him. But here in chapter 19, we find a rich man who was willing to follow Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And in chapter 18, he tells his disciples for the third time what is going to happen there, verses 32 and 33. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. And the route to Jerusalem took him through Jericho. On the way into Jericho, he heals and he saves a blind beggar. And then on his way out of Jericho, he has the encounter with Zacchaeus. I want to speak first of all about Zacchaeus the curious. We are alerted right at the start of this chapter to expect something special, because at the start of verse 2, it says, now behold, and that is a sign that something out of the ordinary is going to happen, and so indeed it was. And the man that it would involve is then introduced to us. He is a man named Zacchaeus, and he is a chief tax collector, and he is rich. Now, all tax collectors were despised by the Jews. They were viewed as being traitors. They were viewed as being collaborators with the occupying Roman authorities. They were usually greedy and dishonest. Zacchaeus wasn't an ordinary tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. He was the man in charge of the tax collection in the Jericho area. Other men would have worked for him, and he became rich through all of this. Now, it wasn't much earlier that Jesus is recorded as saying in chapter 18, verse 24, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus had riches. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He doesn't seem like the kind of man who would have much interest in Jesus of Nazareth. He seemed to be a man who had his heart set on other things, worldly things. And yet we find that Zacchaeus was curious. He was curious about this Jesus that he must have heard about. And that's as much, really, as you can say about Zacchaeus. He was curious. He wanted to see this man, Jesus, for himself. And we're told in verses 3 and 4 that he sought to see who Jesus was. It wasn't that he was wanting to talk with Jesus. He just wanted to see who he was. But he couldn't because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. And so we're told he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Zacchaeus was a short man. He was of short stature. And Matthew Henry has a little comment on Zacchaeus. He says, "Let not dwarfs despair." And so Zacchaeus just wants to get a glimpse of Jesus. And he is keen enough to run ahead and to climb up into a little tree to give him some extra height. And all he is aiming at is being a spectator. He intends to be an onlooker to see Jesus pass by. But Jesus has something different in mind. Zacchaeus was curious. In the second place, we see Zacchaeus sought out by Jesus. Soon Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was. And when Jesus got there, we're told that he looked up and he saw him. And he said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And so Zacchaeus got his glimpse of Jesus, but he got much more than that. And the reality was that Jesus had come looking for him. It was much more that Jesus had come looking for Zacchaeus than that Zacchaeus had been looking for Jesus. Jesus sought him out. Jesus stopped. Jesus knew that there was a man in Jericho that he needed to deal with. And what a jolt it must have been to Zacchaeus when this Jesus that he has never set eyes on before stops and speaks to him and calls him by his name. How did Jesus know that he was Zacchaeus? And then on top of that, Jesus does what he doesn't seem to do in any other situation in the gospel records. He invites himself to the house of someone that doesn't know him. This is extremely unusual. And Jesus here is acting with a real sense of purpose and mission. He tells Zacchaeus what must happen. That's a very strong word. And he tells him that it must happen today. This was the day when Jesus had to seek out Zacchaeus. It couldn't wait until another day when Jesus would be coming back through Jericho, because he wouldn't be. Jesus was going to Jerusalem to die. He wasn't coming back on the road to Jericho. It was this day or never. It wasn't going to be never. So Jesus says, I must stay at your house today. Jesus said, it must happen. And therefore, that was the way it must be. Now, no one would have guessed that this was coming. Zacchaeus wasn't expecting this. No one else was expecting this except Jesus. Jesus was expecting this. And Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus out much more than Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus out. Zacchaeus was just curious to get a glimpse of Jesus. But Jesus was committed to saving Zacchaeus. So we see Zacchaeus sought out by Jesus. The third place, we see a disapproving crowd. When the crowd saw and when they heard what was happening, they were not at all pleased. Verse 7, we're told, but when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. They didn't think that this was the kind of company that Jesus should be keeping. This was not the kind of hospitality that Jesus should be seeking. This was maybe the last man in Jericho that they thought Jesus should be associating with. None of them would have been wanting to go and sit and eat with Zacchaeus. So it was a disapproving crowd. And this was nothing new for Jesus. He encountered this again and again in the days of his public ministry. He was criticized as being a friend to sinners. And who was right in this situation? Well, of course, we know that Jesus was right. It wasn't that the crowd was right, that Jesus was making a mistake. Jesus was right, and the crowd were wrong. We know that. We know that that must be the case. But are we not guilty of being more likely to be followers of the crowd than followers of Jesus? Is it not the case that we are often those who avoid contact with those we perceive to be sinners? That's what the crowd did, but it's not what Jesus did. Jesus was known to be a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And many people saw that as a bad thing, and he was criticized for that. But it was a good thing. It was a God-honoring thing. And Jesus had time for the sinners that he came to save. Having time for sinners is a mark of Christ-likeness. And having time for sinners will be met with disapproval today as it was in the day of Jesus. There was a disapproving crowd. But Jesus did what was right, not what the crowd wanted. In the fourth place, we see the new Zacchaeus. When Jesus stopped and called Zacchaeus by name, Zacchaeus responds straight away. Verse 6, so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. There was no excuses from Zacchaeus. There was no claiming that it didn't suit him to have Jesus at his house just now. He was down in a flash. He was overjoyed to receive the honor that Jesus was giving to him. Now, no doubt, this is a summary that Luke gives us of what happened on that occasion. Luke is giving us the highlights. There would have been more to it than this. Not everything would have happened within just a few moments. But at some stage, Zacchaeus spoke the words that we have in verse 8. And these are words that couldn't be spoken by the rich young ruler in the previous chapter. It says, "Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.'" And these are the words of a changed man. These are the words of a saved man. These are the words of a repentant sinner. Zacchaeus says, "Here and now I give away half of that which has been so precious to me up until now." He's not saying that he will give it away. He's not saying, I'll write it into my will that I'm leaving half. Half of it all will go to the poor. No, it is here and now that he gives it away. And he goes further than that. He sets about making restitution for all of his illegal, immoral gains. He sets about repaying all of those that he has cheated out of their wealth in order to make him rich. All those that he has stolen from. And the law of God, as we have it in the Old Testament, tells us what was to be done with someone who was confessing their sin of this kind. Numbers 5, verse 7. "Then he shall confess the sin which he has committed. He shall make restitution for his trespass in full, plus one-fifth of it, and give it to the one he has wronged." You give back all you've stolen, and you add a fifth to it. You don't give back 100%, you give back 120%. But not Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus repays 400%. It was a great investment to have Zacchaeus as your tax collector, because you were getting 400% back of what he had taken off you immorally. All of the people that he had cheated, they would find themselves so much better off as a result of the conversion of this man. And then going forward, he wouldn't be charging them the wrong amount of tax anymore, but rather that which the law required. Here is a man with a new heart. Here is a new Zacchaeus. Here's a man with new priorities. A man truly changed by his encounter with Jesus. Life would never be the same again for Zacchaeus. Now, we don't read anything more about Zacchaeus in the pages of the Scriptures. But R.C. Sproul comments that in the writings of Clement of Alexandria, he says that Zacchaeus continued faithfully in the growth and nurture of the Lord, and he served Christ to the end of his life with distinction, being elevated ultimately to the role of Bishop of Caesarea. We can't be sure that that's right, but that is what someone has written about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a man who was wonderfully transformed. And here is the new Zacchaeus. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And there in Jericho, the new Zacchaeus had come and the old Zacchaeus was gone. gone forever. And the Lord Jesus uses this work of saving Zacchaeus to teach us about himself. And the last thing we see is what Jesus is teaching here in verse 10, that Jesus seeks and saves the lost. It wasn't just that it looked as if Zacchaeus had been saved. He really had been saved. Jesus assures us of that in verse 9. Jesus says to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." Jesus tells us that Zacchaeus has been saved. Zacchaeus has become a true spiritual son of Abraham. Because he was a tax collector, the Jews wouldn't have regarded him as a son of Abraham at all. Well, Jesus says he's a true son of Abraham. He shares the faith of Abraham. Abraham looked forward to the day of Christ, and Zacchaeus saw that day and trusted in the same Savior. And Jesus says that salvation has come to his house. The whole household of Zacchaeus would enter into the blessings that came through Zacchaeus being saved. Others would be blessed in this man's salvation. And so here we have this man that would have been regarded as very, very unlikely to become a follower of the Lord Jesus. And he is shown to us as being illustrative of those that Jesus came to save. Jesus says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Zacchaeus was spiritually lost. And no one other than Jesus was interested in finding him. But Jesus was. Everyone else had written Zacchaeus off. Everyone else had nothing but bad things to say about Zacchaeus. But Jesus was different, because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And perhaps someone who's listening to this message, perhaps you're lost also. Maybe you're a lost soul. Maybe you're a stranger to the Lord. You don't know him. Zacchaeus didn't know Jesus. You're a stranger to the Lord. He hasn't featured in your life. He's not someone you've been thinking about. Well, what Jesus did for Zacchaeus, he can do for you too. Are you willing to leave your old life behind, like Zacchaeus was willing to leave his old life behind? And are you willing to enter into that thoroughly new life that Jesus can lead you into? Nobody else can save you. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to seek and to save that which was lost. The only thing you have to be saved by Jesus Christ is lost. So if you're lost, if you're spiritually lost, well, that's exactly the kind of person that Jesus saves. Many of you who are listening have already been found by Jesus. He has stopped where you were, and he has changed your life. Once you were lost, now you're found. And if that's the case, well then pray that you will live to see Jesus continuing to seek and to save others who are lost. Pray in these days for people who are curious. People perhaps in these strange days are reading things they wouldn't normally read. People are listening to things that they wouldn't normally listen to. People are hearing and reading spiritual messages. And they're maybe just curious, maybe something they've never really thought about before. But let us believe that in the midst of COVID-19, there will be those who are simply curious, who will be sought out by the Lord and saved by the Lord. And when that happens, and maybe when God's people are allowed to meet again for worship, and the day comes when we can do that without restrictions, and anybody knows that they're free to enter into a church building and they'll not be worried about doing it because of maybe catching the virus, well then let's make sure that we're ready to receive those people. Let's make sure that we're ready to rejoice. Let's make sure that we're ready to welcome them. They may come from all sorts of backgrounds. Zacchaeus wasn't the kind of person that people were very ready to welcome into their fellowship, but they needed to because Jesus saved him. And we need to be ready to receive all sorts of the lost people that Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save. The Lord Jesus Christ delights in saving those that nobody else wants anything to do with. And his church is a marvelous collection of people that were utterly lost, utterly hopeless sinners. But Jesus has time for them. And we're called to be like our Master, to have that Christ likeness, to be those who will be willing to be a friend to the sinners. Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that is a wonderful work. What an act of God's grace is the salvation of this man, Zacchaeus. And the Lord continues to do his work of saving sinners, seeking and saving those who are lost. We see this man, Zacchaeus. He goes from curiosity to conversion. He was just curious, and yet the Lord saved him that very day. And let us take heart and draw encouragement from that. Amen. Now we speak to God now in prayer. We give thanks, our Father in heaven, for this little episode in the life of the Lord Jesus. We praise you that as he was on his way to Jerusalem, and as he was talking plainly to his disciples about how he would be mocked and insulted and spat upon, how he would be scourged and how he would be killed, we praise you that he sought out Zacchaeus and he stopped and he entered into conversation with that man, that he went to that man's house and that he brought salvation to that household. And we praise you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is one of us, that he knows what it's like in this world, that he has experienced the kinds of things that we experience. And we praise you for the wonderful Savior that he is. We thank you that there is salvation for the lost, that we're not left to reap what we have sown. We praise you, God, that there is grace to be found with you, We thank you, Lord, for your salvation. We thank you for Jesus, the Savior that you've provided. We thank you for all that we're taught about him, for everything we read about him in the Scriptures. We thank you that there's nothing that we see in the Scriptures that could make anyone come to the conclusion that Jesus couldn't have time for me. Lord, we praise you for how he mixed with those who were sinners, those who were looked down upon, those who were seen as the very worst of the people of the day. And we praise you for how he saved them and how their lives were turned around and the wonderful thing that was. We give thanks, O Lord, for that salvation that is there. And we praise you that it is the Lord Jesus who seeks and saves the lost. And we praise you for the many, many stories that have been told in many different parts of the world and different generations of how the Lord Jesus has sought his people out in the strangest of situations, most unlikely of converts. But we rejoice that he's still doing that work. And we pray that that work will go on in these present times. We pray that there will be many in these days and that curiosity will lead them into contact with the truth of the Lord Jesus, whether it's something they hear, whether it's a person that they speak with, something they read. We pray, O Lord, that those who are lost will continue to be found, having been sought out by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the hope that these things give to us. We confess our sin, O Lord. We pray that you will forgive us for the wrong attitudes we have towards those whom we regard as being sinners. Forgive us, O Lord, for steering clear of those people. Forgive us for not being like our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will work in us a greater Christ-likeness. And we pray that there will be many, many more lost sinners who will come to be followers of Jesus Christ, who will be welcomed into his church, and who in turn will be used by you as those who will find others who are lost. We praise you, O God, that the work of the kingdom continues, that the day of grace is still with us. And Lord, we pray that you'll be working mightily in these times, and we pray that you will continue to do your saving work. Lord, be with us. Help us in the things that we'll be busy with in the days to come. We pray that day by day we will be looking to you. Day by day we will be thankful for what we have in Jesus Christ. We pray that if we're not yet saved, that you will give us no peace until we know ourselves to be those who have been found by him. Help us to be those who seek him with all our heart. And we pray, our Father, that you will help us to be those who are active followers of the Lord Jesus, seeking to do his will. And we pray for that transforming work of your Spirit within us, that as the life of Zacchaeus was turned around, that so our lives will be turned around, that we will repent of our sin, that we will seek in every way we can to make up for the wrong that we've done. And we pray, God, that our life story will be one that will be worth telling because it speaks of your working. Lord, we pray that you will hear these prayers, and we ask all now in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our closing psalm is 130. We sing the B version of the psalm, singing the whole of the psalm. The tune is Martyrdom number 114, Psalm 130, the B version. Lord, from the depths to thee I cried, my voice, Lord, do thou hear. Unto my supplications voice give an attentive ear. Lord, who shall stand if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity? But yet with thee forgiveness is, that feared thou mayest be. And the last stanza says, and plenteous redemption is ever found with him, and from all his iniquities he Israel shall redeem. Zacchaeus found forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was aware that he had many sins that he needed to have forgiven, but he found plenteous redemption in the Lord Jesus, and we're told that that plenteous redemption is ever found with him, and that he is the one who redeems his people from all their iniquities. We see our Savior set before us here. Here is our hope. Here is the one who seeks and saves those who are lost. Psalm 130b, the whole psalm, and the tune 114. Let us praise God.
Lord, from the depths to thee I cried, my voice, Lord, to thy ear, unto my supplications voice, give an attentive ear. Lord, who shall stand if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity? But yet with thee forgiveness is, that feared thou mayest be. I wait for God, my soul doth wait, my hope is in his word. More than they that for morning watch, my soul waits for the I say, more than they that do watch the morning light to see, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with him mercy and plenteous redemption is ever found with him, and from all his iniquities Israel shall.
Now receive God's blessing. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.